Well, 2016 saw the release of an animated film called The Secret Life of Pets. It was a cartoon that imagined what would happen and what kind of things our pets might get up to while the owners were off at work. And to put a twist on that very famous phrase, while the owners are away, the pets will play. Well, in this section in the Sermon on the Mount that Will read for us this evening, Jesus is describing for us the secret life of a Christian. He starts off this section by telling us, chapter 6, verse 1, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. For then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven." Be careful, be warned about doing acts of righteousness for the sake of those watching. You see, a Christian is not just a Christian when everyone is watching. A Christian is not just a Christian when they are on full view. No, a Christian continues to live like a Christian even behind closed doors. In fact, you could argue that the majority of the Christian life is lived in secrets. The majority of our heavy lifting, most of the heavy lifting of the Christian life is done in the quietness of our own home, when we are alone with God. That's why in this section from Matthew 6, verse 1 to verse 18, Jesus uses the phrase "in secret" 4 times. He tells us that there's 3 things that a Christian should be doing in secret. Giving should be done in secret. Praying should be done in secret. Fasting should be done in secret. This then is the secret life of a Christian. Not arrogantly shouting about how virtuous and how upright you are. And not telling others about how amazing your life is. Not putting pictures on Instagram of your devotional with your Bible laid out and your highlighters and your notebook all for the rest of the world to see. Instead, quietly going about the business of living a Christian life. So this evening, we're going to come to the second part of those 3 parts of the secret life of a Christian, and that is the way that we pray. This is from verses 5 to 15. And we're going to see 3 things as we come to this section this evening. Firstly, when, not if. Secondly, beware the false prayer. And thirdly, the cure for fakery. Now, I should say that in our section, we've got probably the most famous example of prayer in the Bible, and I'm sorry if this disappoints you, but we're not even going to touch on the Lord's Prayer tonight. We're going to focus on the verses around it that teach us how we should be praying. So with that said, let's make a start. Point number 1, when, not if. In all 3 of the sections, as Jesus teaches us about giving, praying, fasting, Jesus uses that little word, when. And so it's important that we make a note of it. In verse 5, he says, "And when you pray." Verse 6, he says, "But when you pray." Verse 7, "And when you pray." We might be tempted to think that's just a passing comment. It's just a convenient word to use. But it's significant, isn't it? That he doesn't say, if you pray. He doesn't say, on those rare occasions when you find the time to pray. No, when. He assumes that you will be praying. And that you'll be praying regularly. Prayer ought to be a hugely significant part of the Christian's life. But I worry that sometimes we see it as an added extra. I come to church, I sing the songs, I read my Bible sometimes, and if I'm feeling really spiritual, then I'll pray as well. No, when you pray. Martin Lloyd-Jones says this: there is nothing that tells the truth about us as Christian people so much as our prayer life. And prayer is like a spiritual thermometer that tells us how healthy the temperature of our soul is. Prayer is like a heart monitor that beeps to tell us that we're still breathing, that we're still alive. And Leonard Ravenhill says this: the Sunday morning service shows how popular your church is. The evening service shows how popular your pastor is. Your private prayer time shows you how popular God is. And Jesus says, when you pray. But this evening I'm asking the question, do you pray? I must confess that if I ask myself that question, the answer is not as much as I should. And nowhere near as much as I need to. Not nearly as passionately as I ought to. And so I'm not standing up here tonight telling you I'm an expert in prayer. Let me tell you how I do it. Instead, I'm standing here as one sinner, speaking to a room of other sinners, telling you we need to pray. No wonder our culture is going to pot. No wonder UK churches grow cold. We're not praying. Unless the Lord builds the house, those that labour, labour in vain. And so if it feels as if we're labouring in vain at the moment, if it feels as if we're constantly going against the tide, if it feels as if we're wasting our time in the Christian life, maybe it's because the Lord has stopped building. And maybe that's because we've stopped asking him to build. When you pray. So this week, the question needs to be when, not if. This is not an optional extra. Prayer is essential. So this week, practically, set time aside. And perhaps after breakfast, when normally you'd be scrolling through your phone, put it down just for a few minutes and pray. Maybe when you get home from work and you pull into the driveway, just before you rush into the house with the busyness of home life, just pause in your car and pray. Maybe when you've dropped off the kids at school and you're walking back home, pray while you walk. And if you don't know what to pray, then why not use the Lord's Prayer? Why not use that as a guide to help you? Think about how you can fill in the blanks. Give us today our daily bread. What do I need today? Forgive us our debts. What do I need forgiveness for? Lead us not into temptation. What temptations am I struggling with at the moment? When you pray, not if you pray. Maybe before we go on to the next 2 points, we could just pause. Should we pray together now? And let's ask for God's help to do this. Let's pray. Lord, forgive us for our lack of prayerfulness. We don't pray to you anywhere near as much as we need to. Lord, we're helpless without you. And yet so often we carry on as if we can do this all by ourselves. Forgive us, we pray. But we thank you, Lord, that your ears are still open to us. That you're still willing to listen when we call out to you. And so, Lord, we pray that you would help us to be people of prayer. Lord, we pray that this week we would carve out time to speak to you, not just to do it when we get a spare moment, but to carve time out of our day to devote ourselves to prayer. Protect us, Lord, from any temptations that would try and take us away from our time with you. Help us not to grow cold and weak. But Lord, instead, we pray that we would grow closer to you day by day. Because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's think secondly then about beware false prayer. So in these verses, Jesus tells us when you pray, and then he teaches us what to do when you pray. He tells us that there's two kinds of fake prayer that we need to avoid. The first kind of fake prayer is the prayer of the hypocrite. Look with me at verse 5. When you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. So here's this chap who rolls up to the prayer meeting. We meet him throughout this section as Jesus teaches us about the secret life. In the first section, it's like he rolls up to church and he's got one of those giant novelty checks, because he loves to give so that everyone knows how much he's given. And when he fasts, he makes sure that he tells you how much his stomach is rumbling. But here, in this section on prayer, he's rolling up to the midweek meeting and he's got a big bellowing voice and he uses big fancy words and you're not really sure. Is he praying to God or is he just boasting about all the amazing things that he's done? He's not actually interested in whether God hears his prayer. He's more interested in whether you were impressed by his prayer. He doesn't want an answer from God. He wants everyone else in the room to be in awe of him. And Jesus says, well, if that's what he wants, he can have it. They have received their reward in full. He got what he came for. He wanted everyone to be impressed with his fancy words, and maybe they are impressed. But God isn't. God is not interested in the fancy words and the eloquent speech. Jesus tells that story, doesn't he, in Luke 18, to make this exact point. Luke 18, Jesus says, two men went to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed nice and loud, God, I thank you that I'm not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, and even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week, give a tenth of all that I get. But the tax collector, he stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but he beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you, this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and all who humble themselves will be exalted. Beware false, hypocritical prayers. But then there is a second type of prayer that Jesus warns us against. He also warns us against a pagan or a Gentile way of praying. Look with me at verse 7. When you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they'll be heard for their many words. Other translations call it vain repetitions. Just saying the same thing over and over and over again. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee, over and over. You know, in Hinduism, they have prayer beads, and they repeat a mantra every time they put a bead through their fingers, and there's 108 beads for 108 repetitions. How mind-numbing to say the same thing 108 times. And Jesus says, beware of this false way of praying that turns into this mindless, meaningless, empty repetition. When you're in conversation with someone and we find that they've just started rambling, They're babbling on about who knows what. And even they don't know what they're saying anymore. And the conversation becomes meaningless, doesn't it? It's just empty. And we switch off because they're not saying anything, really. We stop paying attention because they're just wittering on. Jesus says, God wants to hear sincere, heartfelt prayers. He won't hear you better if you ramble on and on. So beware the pagan prayer. So then, these are the two kinds of prayer that Jesus warns us against. But how should we pray? This is what we should avoid, but how can we make sure that our prayers aren't just babbling? How can we make sure that we're not showy and arrogant with our prayers? Well, let's think thirdly then about the cure for fakery. So Jesus doesn't just warn us against hypocritical babbling prayers. He also teaches us positively the way that we should pray. And again, he tells us two things to direct us in how we should pray. Verse 6, but when you pray, go into your room, shut the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And again, verse 8, do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. So the cure for the hypocritical prayer is to remember that your Father in heaven sees what is done in secret. The cure for the pagan babbling is to remember that your heavenly Father knows what you need before you even ask him. In both cases, the cure for fakery is to remember who you're praying to. Remember what your God is like. And when you have that right understanding of God, then you will be equipped to pray without hypocrisy, without babbling. How can you pray properly if you don't know who you're praying to? Know the Lord. Know what he is like. Know his character. Know his attributes. Understand more of what God is like. And that will inform your prayer life. And in these verses, Jesus tells us two things about what God is like that will help us to pray. He sees and he knows. Your Father in heaven sees what is done in secret. The Lord sees you for who you truly are. He knows what goes through your mind when you're all alone. He knows what happens when you're left with complete freedom to think and say and do whatever you want. He sees straight through you. He sees straight to your soul. Nothing is hidden from the eyes of God. That is a powerful medicine, isn't it? To these hypocritical prayers. Why would we put on a performance in our prayers? Why would we put on this religious act? Because our Father knows what we're really like. He sees straight through the performance. Now, it might be that you're here this evening and you are putting on a performance. You are playing the role of a good Christian churchgoer. You talk the talk. You sound very eloquent. You know the right things to say at the right time. You know when to stand up and sit down. You know the songs to sing. But when you get home, the mask comes off and you drop the act and you return to your true self. Bitter, jealous, angry, no interest in God, no concern for your soul. And you go about the rest of your week without giving God a second thought. And then next Sunday rolls around and you get the church clothes back on and the mask returns to hide your true self. Can I tell you, if that's you, if you're just putting on a performance, God is not fooled. You're not impressing the Lord. The Father sees what is done in secret. He knows what goes on throughout the rest of the week. So if you are a Sunday performance kind of Christian, you're not helping yourself. You're living a lie, making the people around you think that you're a Christian. It won't do anything for you. In fact, it's hurting you. Putting on the act and playing the role of a good Christian, it will lull you into this false sense of security that I must be okay. Everyone at church thinks I'm all right. But God is not impressed. You may think you're safe. The reality is you're not. Because a good performance, a good act in the role of Christian will not save you from your sin. Only the Lord Jesus can save you from your sin. And so please don't dust off the mask each Sunday to come to church. Come instead in repentance and faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. Come humbly to the cross, trusting in Jesus alone to save you. You can say to God, Lord, you're the God who sees me for what I really am. You know how much I've pretended. You know that in reality I'm a sinner, I'm a rebel, I'm a broken mess. But Lord, please wash away my sin. Take away my guilt. It's only by grace, received by faith, that you can be saved. It is while we were still sinners that Christ died for us. He knew how rotten you were before he died for you. He saw you for the mess, the sinful, broken person that you really were before he went to Calvary. And so you don't need to hide that from God. He knows it. And yet he still went to the cross to save you. Don't be a hypocrite. Remember, God sees. That's not the only thing that Jesus tells us, is it, about God? He also reminds us that our Father in heaven knows what we need, even before we ask him. So this week, I don't know if it's home groups or if it's a prayer meeting this week, but you get together at your prayer meeting and you share things that need to be prayed about. One person's health, another person's salvation, one person's job situation, the situation in another country, or perhaps the situation in a church down the road. You know what? No matter what the things are that you pray for, no matter how long that list on the whiteboard is this week, the Lord knows them all. He knows them now, before you even got to the meeting. In fact, he even knows the things that you forgot to mention. He knows the things that you didn't even realize you needed to mention. God knows what we want. He knows what we need. And he knows exactly when is best to give us an answer in order to help us grow. You see, sometimes I think we treat prayer like a shopping list or our letter to Father Christmas. Or we treat prayer like a slot machine just pulling God's arm over and over again, waiting to hit the jackpot. And it's completely wrong. That is not the way to view prayer. Our God is a loving, kind, heavenly Father, and he knows what he's doing. He knows what is best for us. The 11-year-old boy who goes to his dad and says, Dad, can I have a go in your BMW? If that father is a wise and loving father, the answer will be no. It doesn't matter how much that 11-year-old boy keeps babbling on and on and on about it, the answer will always be no, and so he doesn't need to go on about it. Equally, the 17-year-old boy who's just got his provisional license, if he goes to his dad asking for a few driving lessons in their little put-put car, if he is a wise and loving and capable, I should say, loving Heavenly Father, a loving Father, then he will take his son out for a little spin. He shouldn't need to go on and on about it, should he? And now you may be thinking, well, if God knows what I need before I ask it, then why even pray? What's the point of asking if he already knows what I'm going to say? Well, what kind of relationship would that be? If we never needed to communicate things with God, what kind of relationship would we have with him? Just because your dad knew that you were going to ask for a new pair of trainers, it didn't stop you from asking him, did it? Our relationship with God is not one where we just imagine something in our minds and like a genie, God does it for us. No, instead, it is a relationship of a good, loving, heavenly Father. We go to him in faith, recognizing we're completely reliant on him. And we talk to him. We ask him for things. We recognize that we have no other hope except for the Lord. And we trust that he will give us everything we need at exactly the time we need it. Don't babble. Remember, your Father knows. So then as we close, this is the secret life of a Christian. Behind closed doors, we are people of prayer. A Christian is not simply someone who comes to church, wears the costume for a Sunday, talks the talk. No, a Christian is someone who daily walks the walk. When no one else is around, even when no one else is watching, a Christian is someone who is trusting in Jesus, someone who has repented of their sin, received forgiveness of their sins, and that has transformed their lives inside and out. And so now, even when no one else can see, they are living a life where they are cultivating a relationship with their Father in heaven, a relationship of prayer. Let's pray to him now. Dear Lord our God, we thank you in one way that you see us for who we truly are. Lord, we are terrified by that. That you know what goes on in our heart. You know what goes on in our mind. Lord, that scares us. But at the same time, Lord, we thank you for it. We thank you that we don't have to pretend with you anymore. That we don't have to put on a performance to impress you. And so, Lord, we pray that as we want to grow in our love for you, in our walk with you day by day, Lord, we pray that we would be so aware that you see exactly what we're like, that you know exactly what we need. Help us, Lord, to see you as that wise, loving, heavenly Father. Lord, we pray that we would trust in you as a child trusts their father. Help us to grow as little children, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.